Aloha and welcome to Elevating Motherhood. I'm so glad you're here. I'm your host, Lori Beth Aldridge. I've taken my passion for conversation, perspective, and supporting moms and turned it into a podcast. My goal is to talk openly about motherhood, offer new ideas, and help moms find their confidence in this busy and sometimes overwhelming world we live in. We're going to dive deep, open up, and elevate motherhood. Thanks for being here with me. Let's get started. Today's episode is sponsored by Nourished Motherhood. Nourished Motherhood is a 16-week program that uses a personalized approach to health and wellness. It's created with homeschooling moms in mind, and as a mom who fits that description and who is enrolled in the program, I can tell you that I appreciate that distinction. The one-size-fits-all model to health and wellness doesn't work for me, but Nourished Motherhood does. Nourished Motherhood is a personalized one-on-one weekly coaching for 16 weeks with the creator of the program, Yevgenia. So every week I meet with Yevgenia to focus on creating fundamental habits that will work in the season that I'm in while also keeping lifelong goals in mind. I want to stay healthy and active for my kids and one day hopefully for my grandkids, and I'm really grateful for Yevgenia's personalized suggestions and genuine consistent encouragement. She's really opened my eyes so much about healthy habits and lovingly shines a light on my personal hangups, allowing me time and space to discover them for myself and make intrinsically motivated changes that will last a long time. This is not a cookie cutter program where you will have to deplete yourself or follow maddening advice. It's a truly personalized approach to health and wellness. I'm grateful to have a fellow homeschool mama who gets it, someone who's in my corner and genuinely cares about my health. And I'll tell you, that fact right there has made all the difference on my health journey. Knowing that there's someone out there who cares about me and my health is in and of itself so encouraging. You can find out more about Yevgenia's program and sign up for her waitlist at nourishedmotherhood.com. That's at nourished with a D, motherhood.com, at nourishedmotherhood.com, and tell Yevgenia that Lori Beth sent you over. Before we get started with Ruth's interview, I also wanted to tell you that I have officially launched my Elevating Homeschool community over on Patreon. Go check it out. If you are a homeschool mom who needs support and resources and perspective, or you're just thinking about homeschooling and curious about how to get started and what it's actually like, basically, if you are one of the many moms who have messaged me over the years and said, "Hey, Lori Beth, can we meet up for a cup of coffee? I'd really like to pick your brain about homeschool." The Elevating Homeschool community is for you. I finally created an off social media space where we can get together and I can share resources and answer all your questions. Think of it as Dear Abby for homeschoolers. It's Dear Lori Beth, so send me all your stuff. Is your mother-in-law, who's a former school teacher, like driving you crazy? Do you have questions about curriculum? Are you down in the dumps about certain things? Or do you just have basic questions and want to know what other people's homeschool days look like so that you don't feel like it's just you at home teaching your kids by yourself? Be in community with us over on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/elevatinghomeschoolcommunity. That's patreon.com/elevatinghomeschoolcommunity. I will also link to it in the show notes. Go check it out. I cannot wait to encourage you in that space. That's patreon.com/elevatinghomeschoolcommunity. Ruth Cho Simons is an artist in so many senses of the word. Her latest book, Pilgrim, 25 Ways God's Character Leads Us Onward, is stunning and inspiring. It's a beautiful exploration of God's character and faithfulness and is bursting with Ruth's signature watercolor art. It is a gift for the eyes and the heart. Years ago, I had a friend say to me, "I think Jesus was a great person and someone worth striving to be like. I don't like all the religion and church stuff, and I wouldn't call myself a Christian, but I do think that Jesus was real and someone worth striving to be like." Pilgrim is the book I wish I had to give her in that moment. It obviously didn't exist back then, but man, it's a book that I would give her now. Understanding the character of God in a biblical context where we can start to break down who he is and what his works show us is so important. Understanding his character helps us understand his strength, and it gives us not only something to lean into, but an example of compassionate character to strive toward. We are on a journey, a path that we travel every day as moms, and I can tell you that walking a path set out for me by Jesus is a lot easier than trying to create my own. As mothers, we need strength for our daily journey. It's available to us. It is available to us. Sometimes we need reminders that nothing separates us from God's love. Pilgrim is a beautiful reminder of that. Pretty enough to leave out on the table as our daily reminder that God's provision and grace is available for us. But it's not only pretty. Ruth's words are also deep enough to really give us some spiritual fulfillment. Ruth is wonderful. If you already know who Ruth Cho Simons is, you're going to love this interview. If you're hearing about her for the first time here, know that I am so honored to be the one to introduce you to her and her work. Ruth Cho Simons is a Wall Street Journal bestselling and award-winning author of several books and Bible studies, including Grace Laced, Beholding and Becoming, and When Strivings Cease. She is an artist, entrepreneur, podcaster, and speaker, using each of these platforms to spiritually sow the Word of God into people's hearts. Through social media, her online shop at gracelaced.com, which is like has so many things for my Christmas list this year, and the Grace Laced Collective community, Simons shares her journey of God's grace, intersecting daily life with word and art. Ruth and her husband, Troy, are grateful parents to six boys, their greatest adventure. Ruth is a fellow mama who gets it, and boy, her words today and her book Pilgrim are such gifts to moms. I hope you'll go check it out. My copy is absolutely out and available at all times in my house. Without further ado, let's welcome the wonderful Ruth Cho Simons to the show.
Aloha, Ruth. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
I love being here, Lori. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. One of my favorite things about you is that you read your audiobooks and it's so lovely. And I just have to pay you this compliment from one of my daughters who I was listening to one of your audiobooks the other day in preparation for this interview. Even though we're not talking about those books, I just wanted to hear your voice and all your messaging. And my one daughter said, "Oh, Mom, I don't know what you're listening to, but it's so soothing and so nice. And I love the way she talks about Jesus." And she is 7 years old. And
Lori, that is so sweet. It was for a girl who, when I was 7 years old, really didn't like my own voice at all. You know how we all feel that way sometimes, but I think I really, really struggled with it. It's interesting and kind of funny to be using my voice now for those audiobooks. So thank you for saying that. That was really sweet.
Oh, I love it. And she appreciated it so much. And anything that I can listen to with my children and glean from and also be okay to have around them, oh, I appreciate so much. So thank you. Well, that's my 7-year-old's interpretation of you. I would love for my audience to get to know more about you in your own words.
Yeah. I'm Ruth Cho Simons. I am an author and an artist and a founder of gracelaced.com, which is my website that started as a blog and became an e-commerce site where for the last 10 years, it's turned into a lifestyle brand of products and resources that really help others turn their eyes and their hearts to the hope of the gospel through my watercolor paintings and lettering and resources that we create. So I live in Western Colorado in the mountains, and I'm a mama to six boys alongside my husband, Troy, and we are celebrating 25 years in just a few weeks here. So we've got a very full and busy life, and it's been the best journey ever is to be a mama.
Oh, good on you. Oh my gosh. That is a lot of things. And congratulations on 25 years. That is
thank you.
Really something. I love your latest project, Pilgrim. It is so stunning. Flip the pages, you know, as I'm looking through it, and I'll be like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. So, I mean, I just have to ask you, are the prints going to be available? Because I literally was like, I'm just going to cut up the whole book and hang it on my wall.
Oh, you're so sweet. I always say to people, like, please don't feel like you have to cut up the pages of the book, because we reformat them and we make prints available at gracelace.com after the book was released and stuff. So keep an eye out. There's going to be prints available.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad, because your attention to detail. I'm also just going to tell you this too. I was flipping through the book and I get to like a dogwood flower or something like that and be like, that is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. And it was almost like the way you capture it is so lovely. I really want to, for people, since this is audio, I really want to paint a picture for them. It was as if I was out on a walk and I was like stopping and telling my girls, look at this flower. That's how I felt when I opened your book, Pilgrim. I turned the page and I'd be like, oh my gosh, look at this flower.
Lori, I love that. Thank you for saying it that way, because I think that is very on mission for me. I mean, it's really why I paint the things that I paint, because I really want to cause the reader to stop and just say, oh, wait, I've seen this, but I haven't always paid attention. And I want to linger a little bit longer at what is so beautiful about either God's creation or his word. And so I love that you experienced it that way.
Oh, totally. Oh my gosh. And it's not just about your beautiful imagery. It's about your words too. I am so curious. Pilgrim, it's such an interesting word. And as someone who just recently moved to North Idaho, and this Wild West mentality, and like, you know, people who were like born and raised here, their great, great grandparents were born on the back of covered wagons. And so the last year or so, I've really been thinking about pilgrim and journeying and really venturing outside of the everyday in a different way. And I'm so struck by the title of your book. And so I wanted to ask, why Pilgrim? I would love to hear more about why you chose that as the title of your book.
Yeah, I knew I wanted to write a devotional that really helped the reader through their journey with Jesus. As in like, okay, where am I going? How do I make these decisions? Why do I feel like life is so hard? Why is this an uphill battle all the time? Where, you know, how is this going to turn out when I can't see around the bend? Those are the questions I ask all the time in my personal life. And so I'm always thinking, how can I write a devotional that will serve the reader and remind them that wherever they are on the journey, that it is God and his character that actually accompanies us. We don't have to be fearful, because every step of the way is marked out by a good, good father. And, you know, there's a nod to Pilgrim's Progress. So I've pretty much only read the kids' version with my children, but, you know, there's the full story of the journey to, understanding salvation and the whole journey that Christian takes, right? But that's just a nod to Pilgrim's Progress. But the word pilgrim really, really means someone who is not home, someone who is not at home, who doesn't belong where they are, their journey. They're on a long, difficult journey. And usually it's one that's used in the context of a spiritual journey. They're trying to arrive somewhere that is a holy place, or in our case, the presence of God. And in our case, recognizing that our heavenly home is our actual true home, and we're just passing through right now. And so how do we live our everyday lives? How do we do this journey that sometimes feels super hard and super difficult? And how do we remember that God goes with us throughout this pilgrim journey? And that's the goal of these 25 devotionals that are in this book.
Mm-hmm. I love them so much. And, you know, our current culture, I keep referring to it as our current culture. I used to call it just the culture and just be so sad about it. But the current culture, because it is changing, and it's changing through people who are helping us self-reflect and figure out that our current culture's messages of self-rescue and manifestation and all of this is just, it's very noisy. Yeah. And so here we are as pilgrims trying to find our way in a very noisy world that's just filled with all kinds of lies and things that just hold us down. But as believers, we understand that God's way is so much better than our own. But I guess my question for you is, how do you recognize God's way in a very, very noisy world?
Yeah. You know, I think when we look at the Bible and the way early church and young believers dealt with this very same question, being displaced, living in a, you know, a culture that was anti-God, anti-everything that was about the gospel, what was Paul's recommendation, right? What were the epistle writers' recommendation in the early church? And every single time it was to start by remembering the character of God. It was always to start by saying, okay, the world might tell you that you could, you know, in the early church, it was, okay, a little Jesus, but a whole lot of this other stuff called good works or religiosity or all these other law-abiding things. But in our day, it's not all that different. It's similar. It's look within yourself, do these things right, hustle a little bit harder, strive a little bit more, be a little bit more perfected. And there's this idea of hope that's found within yourself. And so I don't know how to break that that nagging tendency to be self-reliant and to worship yourself and your own strengths, but to turn your gaze to God and to actually say, okay, I need a savior. And how do I know that? By going to his word, by recognizing in my own heart and my own spirit that I'm not enough. And then to go to his word and say, oh, well, where do I begin? I begin by seeing who God already is, what he's already done, and what he's inviting me into. That's how we can progress in our pilgrim journey, is by starting with what he's already done. We don't have to invent it. We don't have to be the hero of our own stories. We can start with him being the one who's both the author and the leader of it.
Mm-hmm. I love that. You do such a great job of asking people to return to their Bible too. And by giving examples, I mean, gosh, the verses that you pull out at just the right moment is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But then there's you in your book too. Like one of my favorite lines in the whole book that actually made me stop for quite some time. And I'm not talking just a pause. It was like a pause, like a smack in the face in the best way. And then also a smack in the face and turn to my husband and say, wow, can I read this to you? Because this is something that feels really important and not something for me to just think about. All right, I'll tell you what it is. You say, these attempts to save myself are but a frantic weaving of a rope with straw and weeds, when God offers a lifeline so strong and securely tethered to himself that we need nothing but to walk with him. I actually got teary-eyed when I read that, and I thought, oh my gosh, straw and weeds. Isn't that exactly what I'm doing in the super challenging moments of my life? And I just thought, oh, what a wonderful way to remember that, yeah, straw and weeds, the things I come up with are that.
Yeah. And we're so busy trying to weave that, right? And then we think it's so strong because we somehow made it seem just strong enough for the next moment. And we don't anchor ourselves. We don't trust in the very thing, like, you know, God's like, I am the rock. You can actually like throw yourself upon me and be safe. And like, you absolutely can be anchored to the rock that does not budge. And yet I'm constantly going, see that pebble over there? Let me reach for that. And maybe that'll get me, you know, secure me enough. And so, I'm grateful that that resonated with you, because I think that's where I was at in writing this. Even it was hoping that the reader would understand and recognize that same thing in themselves, where it's like, maybe I make my journey that much more confusing and that much harder because I'm not recognizing how God is leading the way instead of trying to lead the way myself.
Right. And I love how you talk about guideposts in the book too. Truly, we need that. We need someone to stand beside us in the noisy culture that says, oh, you know, they have words for guideposts, but what are guideposts to you? Because I feel like in our secular culture, the descriptions are very off.
Well, you know, I think since that's like kind of a travel term, I think about how, you know, I live here in windy roads in the mountains, and it's common to see like, hey, this is only one way after here, or only four-wheel drive after this point. There's always some version of both warning and also letting you know where you're at so that you can prepare, so that you can look at your surroundings. Sometimes guideposts are even ones that tell you there's a lookout point right here. Don't miss this. And I think in a lot of ways, in our culture, I'd say the guideposts are found all over social media. It's always the sign that says, this is what you need to be. This is what you need to achieve. This is what you need to become. And there's constant messages like that. But really, when we look out, and so I'll just say, I think a lot of times if our life is this road that we're on, this highway, we let everybody else put up these signposts that are telling us, you know, you really should be earning, you know, the six-figure income by now. You're only 25, but you really should have 2 million people on TikTok. You know, there's this constant sense of like where you should arrive. But when I look at God's word and when I look at how God invites us to walk with him, the guideposts that I write about are the guideposts of grace. They're the very things that God says, look what I've done. Look how I have secured things for you. Don't miss this. This is the sign that says, go this way. Look over here. I've already secured forgiveness for you. I've already seen everything there is to see. And this is the person. I'm the omniscient one is the one who's got your back. And like those are the guideposts that go along in our pilgrim journey, reminding us that we don't have to keep on trying to figure it out on our own. We can look up and look to him for how he's already shown us which way to go.
Mm-hmm. It makes me think about when you talked about satisfaction in the book too, and that we have this super big, huge longing for a sense of satisfaction. And the way you talked about social media also really struck me, that social media seems to be a promised land for satisfaction, promising happiness, community, you know, in quotes, affirmation, and the comfort of escapism. I mean, my goodness, Ruth, right in our face. You even say that it's a mirage. Like, wow. And that is what we are spending a lot of our time on, looking at a mirage.
Right.
How have you gotten to a place of satisfaction in your life while being part of social media and then also seeing it for what it is?
Yeah. You know, it's super hard, and I'd be lying if I said that it's not been a struggle throughout the years. I mean, I am a grown woman with, you know, lots and lots of fullness in my everyday life, and I still struggle. I still struggle with comparison. I'll still struggle with feeling like, wow, how did I waste all this time? And now I feel like I'm kind of leaving more empty than when I started, when I first hopped on, right? So anyone who's listening who feels like, oh my goodness, I feel like I'm so lame that I struggle with this. No, it's all of us, right? We all have this version of struggling. And so I'd say the best way I've known to guard my heart so that I can show up on social media and do my job rather than look to social media to be my worth or my hope or my satisfaction or even my sense of like, I don't know, some kind of like numbing out comfort today. The best way to not do any of those things is to replace it with something better. And so I don't think it's just about saying no, right? I think a lot of times we're just like, you know, boundaries on time is really worth it. I'm not saying don't limit your cell phone use. Absolutely. If that works for you, for sure. But I think rules and boundaries themselves don't do the trick. Like you can say, I will only spend 2 hours on here. But if you're thinking constantly and hoping to make for those 2 hours to make your life feel like you've got it done, then you're probably not actually accomplishing the very thing that you're hoping to accomplish. The only way I know to actually long for something better is to experience something better in your everyday life, meaning I fill my time up with things that are richer. So on a practical level, maybe spending time with my kids out in nature and trying to do something rich and memorable and making memories with something else that keeps me so busy that I forget about social media, right? So that's one. The practical way is just to go and say yes to things, say yes to crazy fun things, say yes to things that are inconvenient so that your life is full and you're not sitting around like just numbing out with a phone. But secondly, I think it takes time. It's not an easy answer, but I think so much of life is cultivating an appetite for things that don't come natural to you. I think it's about actually having to stop and say, I naturally long for Cheetos and chips and things that are bad for me, but maybe I can cultivate an appetite for something that's better for my body. And obviously, I just always turn to food when I need an analogy. But the truth is, in the same way, I'm not going to naturally immediately reach for kale, right? I mean, some of us might, but it's usually cultivating an appetite for it, saying, oh, I love when it's fixed this way. I love when, you know, oh my goodness, I didn't know that if you just treated it this way, this is so delicious. And so much of the Christian life is recognizing like if you treat reading your Bible and spending time with the Lord as an obligation, it's going to just feel like you're just downing that that kale because you feel like it's good for you. But what about cultivating an appetite for it, where it starts becoming something and cultivating that time with the Lord so that it actually is drawing you in more than your phone and social media?
Mm-hmm. Massage the kale. That's the secret, in case anyone's wondering.
Well, I love that. Yes, that's a good one. A little acid never helps. A little massaging, a little vinegar. That
always helps. Yeah, replacing something. I think that's really important. And just to give an example, I mean, when I said I was listening to your audiobooks, that's totally what I was doing. When I pick up my phone first thing in the morning, because that's where my alarm clock is. Mm-hmm. It's very tempting to just jump on and get some sort of dopamine hit of some kind. But then you start to realize that's not the only way to get a dopamine hit. Yes. And all of these things that we have to do can actually be very enjoyable. Making breakfast for our family or, you know, packing up my husband's lunch to send him off to work. Like, that is his love language, you know? Mm-hmm. And so me investing time in that and making sure I have all the little details down to like the folded napkin, you know, like
I love that.
Because oh, I know that that's a paper towel in his lunchbox is his love language, right?
Like, aww. It's just,
it could be a chore or it yes. could be, you know, something not. And
yes.
And oh, I love that. And cultivating an appetite for things that don't come easy to us. I mean, here on the show, we talk about lifelong learning all the time, and that really we are lifelong learners. We're going to be learning things whether we like it or not. And so we can actively, as moms, choose to put lessons in front of us, like learning new recipes, like trying out watercolor. I mean, I don't know how you could pick up Pilgrim and not feel like, you know what, I'm going to watercolor.
I hope so. I hope lots and lots of folks want to give it a try. Yeah.
I think they will. Oh, I do want to talk to you about one more thing that I think moms really struggle with, something very mom specific. And that's just this constant worry. When I was reading in your book, you talked about how we do have this constant worrying and questioning. And some examples that you give were like, where are we going to raise our kids? And as a person who is moving into a new house right now, I felt that question, you know, what if we get sick and we can't take care of our kids or continue mm-hmm. working or whatnot? We have all of these what if scenarios. I mean, times 1,000 if you have right. young boys. Well, what insight do you have for moms who find themselves questioning and in a constant state of worry, just fretting about the what ifs?
Yeah, you know, my worries always sneak up on me in the middle of the night. So I think I'm doing okay, and I think I'm not really worrying about things. And then somehow I'll wake up, maybe a dog will bark, or I'll just wake up at 4 a.m. and suddenly feel flooded with worries, flooded with anxieties, things that I probably don't have time to think about in the middle of the day. And then I'm thinking about them in the middle of the night, right? Hopefully some listeners understand and relate to that. But I think it's so natural for us to worry, because in our sinful state, we feel like we have to hold everything together. So if you think about it, we were made as image bearers who were completely created to rest in God, rest in Him. But sin broke that and made it very, very hard for us to trust in anyone else, especially God, our Savior. Like, think about, you know, the temptation and the issue that Eve was wrestling with the forbidden fruit wasn't that it looked just tasty. It was that she wasn't quite sure if God was holding out on her and that there was more to know and more to have. And so I think a lot of times it's the issue of worry helps, it helps us think through, when we're starting to worry, think through, what is it that I think I can control and keep from happening if I just think about it more, troubleshoot it more? The worry is usually a display of how we think we're God and that God is not. And I think that's really I don't know, I'm probably stepping on so many toes when I say that, because the truth is we're not actively trying to be God. We're not saying like, I think I'm in control, I'm not trusting the Lord. But I think somewhere deep inside us, we forget Colossians 1:17. We forget that He holds all things together. That somehow we're like, well, I have to hold all things together. I need to remember every detail. If I don't remember the details, if I don't take care of these things, the worst will come. And whatever the worst is, sometimes it's not even that bad and I'm worried about it, right? Things like, well, then we'll be embarrassed when we show up late, or we'll struggle with not having the thing we're supposed to have and I'll have to drive back home. And I make really, sometimes they're not mountains out of molehills, they're just mountains, but sometimes they are mountains out of molehills. But I think that's why, regardless of whether you're a mom or not, we're all going to have worries. But the reality is, especially as a mama, when you feel entrusted with these people in your home and that you're trying to raise and you're just trying to disciple and you're trying to train them up, there's this responsibility not only for yourself, but for others. And I think that's when you have to start remembering, okay, did God choose me to be the mama here because I'm all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful? Like, is it because Ruth Joe Simons is the most patient and powerful and, you know, loving human being? Like, I'm just always the most forgiving. Of course not. I am actually terrible at all those things, right? And so if that's not the case, if that's not what qualifies me, what qualifies me to be their mama? And the only qualification is that God, in his sovereignty and his care, chose me and gave me this family. And ultimately, it's that when I'm in Christ, I don't live by my own strengths. I don't even have to worry about my own weaknesses, that God is making all things new in me. He's actually transforming us when we are in Christ. And that's why even in Pilgrim, I go through 25. They're very foundational truths, but they're largely attributes of God and the God's ways, the way he works through salvation, the way he works in his love and care. But even things like, what about God knowing all things? What about God being all powerful? Those kinds of issues about who God is actually they actually transform what we ultimately think about ourselves. Because do I have to be all knowing if I'm ultimately in Christ who is all-knowing? No, I wasn't made to be all-knowing. I'm really finite. I'm really limited, but God isn't. And so I think as mamas, the next time you're tempted to feel like I've got to write every last thing down, and if I'm not perfect, this house will fall apart. These people will fall apart. My kids won't get into college. So-and-so will break his arm. Listen, I'm not making a pitch for us not caring about what they eat or not telling them to be careful when they cross the street. That's not my point. The point is when we worry, when we've done what we can, when we have stewarded our responsibilities well, but we continue to fret about it, that's usually an indication that we're trying to be God. We're trying to be all-knowing. We're trying to be all-powerful, and we're trying to be the ones who can hold it all together. And that's just not our jobs.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, just from a practical standpoint, I have the middle of the night stuff too. And I have learned that if I'm listening to worship music during the day and that is what's in my thoughts and in my mind, then I just kind of like plug that in and say, you know what? No, enemy out. Like, oh, this is it. And I feel like it's been a very long journey. I am 42. And only at 42 have I finally figured out that I can do that. I can plug in that instead and turn it over. Just turn it over. Turn away from the enemy and just turn it over to God in the middle of the night. But another point from your book that really struck me was that as people, we have needs. We have needs. And I know that that seems so basic, but that is something at 42 I had not figured out, is that I don't think that our culture encourages us to have peace with the fact that we are needy. Mm. Being needy in our culture is not something that is smiled upon, if you will. But right. If we start to realize that we do have needs and that God can fill those needs and he is there and it is okay. And if we could just make peace with this notion that we have needs, we need help with the worry.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything from we need counselors, we need to talk to somebody, we need community, we need real people in our lives. We need to have a robust in-person life and not just an online life, right? Those are things that actually were given to us. People were given to us. We were made for people. So we're not meant to just live these avatar lives where it's just a little thumbnail of our face while we say whatever we want online. We were meant to show hospitality and eat meals with others. And you just look at the early church and you see how being in Christ caused them to share things and be together and carry one another's burdens and to relate to one another differently. And so we have needs, but our needs were not meant to be met by going shopping or just watching right. another Netflix show or scrolling the internet. And so I think it's good for us to assess, you know, everything from, are we considering how we're vulnerably living out and sharing our very raw and vulnerable needs with somebody else in our everyday lives? And ultimately, are we even talking about it with God? Are we showing up to Him acting like, you know, I'm okay now that I've read my Bible. I think I'm okay now. You must be okay with me, rather than, Lord, I need you. I don't even have a desire for your word today. And so I'm struggling. I don't know what to pray. I'm worried all the time. That's showing up saying, God, I trust that you welcome me even when I have needs. And that's a good practice for us to remember day by day to acknowledge that He wants us to come with our needs.
Ruth, you're such a strong voice for that. Like, my gosh, the way that you encourage us, just that we can be changed. Change is constant. It's a constant in our lives. We are transformed, but you do it in such a hope-filled way, because I think sometimes we can drag our feet at the notion of change or, you know, shifting sure. things or growth even. And you always, always, always consistently present it in such a hope-filled way. And I'm so grateful for that. And oh my gosh, it's so wonderful. The last thought that I'd really like to leave with listeners is about strength, because as much as your book Pilgrim is soft and encouraging and hope-filled and all of that, there is this strength to it that is surprising and wonderful. And you're such a great voice for this. What are some practical ways we can lean into God's strength when we feel just worn out and weary?
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, it's not my words. It's the Apostle Paul's, when he's wrestling with the Lord and he ultimately is like, I asked the Lord to take away this very thing that I feel weak in over and over again. I asked three times and he wouldn't take it away. And he ultimately said, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul ultimately says, when I am weak, he is strong. Like he finds God's strength perfected in his weakness. That's literally what Paul says. And so when we recognize that, it helps us go, okay, so the goal in my everyday life is not to, just like the needs issue, is not to suddenly prove that I'm super, super strong because I'm, you know, I'm powerful, I'm smart, I'm pretty, and I'm just going to say a bunch of really nice things about myself so I can believe it. That's not the goal. The goal is actually, how do I remember that I am truly weak, but because Christ in me, I tap into every possible strength that is available to man. I mean, the thing is, we are incredibly strong. We do have superpower, but that superpower is not because of ourselves. It's not because you went to the gym. It's not because you signed up for an 8-week course on how to accomplish your dream goals. Those are all good tools, but your ultimate strength is found when you return back to how you were made to be in His image. Your ultimate purpose is going to be found when you surrender and come back full circle to the image bearer that you were meant to be in Christ. And so I think when I think about how, I'll just speak to the mamas that are listening and to my sisters in Christ, that one of the reasons why I titled this book Pilgrim is it's not that feminine of a word. And it's not just a fluffy idea of like, you know, simply rest or just take a load off or think about pretty thoughts. A pilgrim dukes it out with the road ahead. They journey. They are not stopping. They're not saying, hey, I'm quitting. They just keep on going. And it is about perseverance. It's about being consistent. It's about remembering that if you fall down, you get back up. And the strength we have in that is that we know where we're going. And it's not that we're just like aimlessly wandering around. You know, when somebody is not sure where they're going, they usually don't have a lot of strength for their moment right here. But when you know exactly where you're headed, man, a runner who's trained for the finish line, that runner is going to run with strength and determination because they've been training for it. They know where the finish line is and what it's going to feel like when they cross it. And so we know the finish line. And so I just say to my sisters who are listening in right now, if you are super weary today, if you are like, I literally don't know if I can clean out the pantry or fold the laundry or take care of my kids or show up for my job or even deal with my email inbox or that family member who drives me entirely nuts. And my life just feels like a series of things I don't really like. And I'm super weak in it and I'm tired and I can't handle it. If those are the words that are popping up in your mind, I'd say, first of all, sister, just set it down for a minute. Set it down. Stop trying to hustle your way and pull yourself up by your bootstraps going, I can, I'm gonna just muscle through it. But to start first and foremost saying, God, I'm weak in all this. All this feels too hard. And if that makes me feel like a wimp, I'm just sorry that I'm so wimpy about this. I feel like I can't handle it. But let me return to who you are and what you said is waiting for me. It's your presence that has promised me that I know that you are making all things new. I am headed to a time and a place where there will be no tears shed, no difficulties in family members, no wayward children, no broken bodies in broken relationships, right? All those things will be made right. And so as pilgrims, we can today take the next step and say, this is not my home. I don't need to find full satisfaction and joy and all pleasure in how much I can make today perfect. I can trust that God, He will make all things perfect in His time. And all I really need today that He's promised is that if I find my hope in Him, wow, He will fill in all the rest and He will carry me through this pilgrim journey. I won't have to muscle my way through this on my own.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Ruth, so good. Oh my gosh. I appreciate so very much the way that you show up and you're so busy and your life is so full. And yet the way that you make time to create for us with all of your paintings and then your writings and then pulling us back to God's word is so powerful and humbling in the best way. And I just really appreciate you packing this interview full of wonderful insights and inspiration and helping us feel reconnected with God. It really is so important and something that we need more of in our life. So I am going to list all the links to where people can find you in the show notes. What is your favorite space to show up in so I can and guide people there?
Thank you. Well, I really love to share weekly, daily over at Instagram. And that's Ruth Jo Simons, RUTHCHOUSIMONS on Instagram. And you can see my artwork more at Grace Laced on that profile page. But on Instagram, I share a little bit more of like my personal motherhood journey and what I'm learning along the way. And so I'd love to connect with you there.
Thank you for your time today, Ruth, and thank you for all that you do. I really appreciate you.
Thanks so much for having me on the show.
That's it for this episode of Elevating Motherhood. Thanks again for spending your valuable time with me today. I hope you found some insight and inspiration, or maybe a little of both. If you like today's show, please leave a review on iTunes. I use your feedback to plan future shows and cover topics that serve you. You can also connect with me on Instagram and Facebook. Links to those accounts are in the show notes. For more information, including today's show notes, head to elevatingmotherhood.com. That's elevatingmotherhood.com. Thanks again, Mama. I appreciate you.